The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 55, 8 places to get help with your handmade business. And that help can come in many forms. It might be our spouse helping us to lug heavy stuff to and from a market, or it might be someone to bounce our ideas off because we're not sure if we're going in the right direction. It might be someone who teaches us that crucial piece of information that makes all the difference to the progress of our business. And sometimes it's just someone who'll tell us that we actually can do this thing that we dream of. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hello, Thriver. Jess here with the Create and Thrive Podcast for another week. Thank you so much for joining me. This week, I'm talking to you a little bit about getting help for your business. Before I do that, what's happening in my world? Well, all is well. Getting a few last bits and pieces for the new house. Just got myself an elliptical trainer so I can get some aerobic exercise when I can't go walking. It's been raining here almost non-stop for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, which in one way is really awesome because we live on tank water now. So rain is our friend because it means we have plenty of water in our tanks. But on the other hand, you get a bit itchy feet. Well, I do. I like to get outside every day and go for a walk. And I don't really like walking in the rain. So maybe living in the mountains, I'll have to get over that now and just put up with the fact that it probably will rain more than I'm used to. But it'll be nice to have a exercise option indoors, other than obviously my yoga. So that's been happening. I'm also in preparation, speaking of walking, for a big walk. I'm actually doing the Fraser Island Great Walk with a friend of mine starting next week, late next week. It's a 6-day walk, I think it's about 90 kilometres. But for those of you who aren't familiar with Fraser Island, it is the world's biggest sand island, I believe. It is a very, very large island off the coast of Queensland, a few hours north of where I live. And it's just beautiful. I've been there many times over my life. There's not much there. There's a resort on one side, and on the other side there's a little settlement. But the vast majority of the island is completely uninhabited. And there's a beautiful walk that goes down through the middle. And one of the most lovely aspects of Fraser Island is it has these amazing freshwater lakes on the interior of the island. And the walk goes past quite a number of these lakes. So we'll get to have midday swims, which will be awesome, or evening swims. And there's also some beautiful forest and rainforest on the island. So it's going to be quite stunning. I'm looking forward to taking lots of photos. Well, to be fair, my friend who I'm walking with is quite the photographer, so I'm sure she'll have her beautiful camera and she'll get some amazing shots that I can share, hopefully. She's actually preparing to do I think it's 7 or 8 month long hike. So this is child's play for her. For me, I think it's the longest hike I've ever been on. So 6 days, is definitely the longest one I've ever been on. So that'll be an interesting challenge. But it will also be beautiful because I'll be offline for the whole time. Digital sabbatical for me. I'll leave Create and Thrive in Meredith's capable hands and Ethereal in Nick's capable hands for 6 days while I spend some time out in the world, just me and my backpack and my friend. So that'll be lovely and challenging, I'm sure. Speaking of challenging, running a handmade business is challenging. It is always challenging. It never stops being challenging. However, it does get somewhat easier with time. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear that if you're just starting out. And if you have been doing it for many years, I hope that you've also found that it's gotten easier with time. But, you know, it's something that is never just going to be smooth sailing. And it's also something that you'll probably feel a bit lonely sometimes, you know. it can be a bit lonely because most of us, when we start out, we're just doing it on our own. You know, we decide we'd like to have a crack at selling this thing we love to create when we're holed up in our creative solitude. I mean, most creativity comes out of solitude. It comes out of us spending time with ourselves and indulging ourselves in the things that light us up, the things that we love doing, the things that bring us joy. And that is a beautiful thing. But when we, you know, when we take that shift from just in doing something because we love it and enjoy it and it makes us feel good, it makes us happy, when we take that thing that we do by ourselves and we put it out into the world for other people to like or not like and buy or not buy, it's a whole different ballgame. It really is. And it changes our perception and our relationship with our craft. And I think, you know, if you're just a beginner, you need to be aware of that straight up, that it's, if you turn it into a business, it's not just going to be something you love doing anymore. And those of you who've been in it a while will have discovered that and have discovered that there are times where you don't love it so much anymore because it's become work. But that being said, you'd still rather do that than anything else. So there's, you know, there's a win there, really. Now, of course, you know, when we're starting out by ourselves, we're limited. You know, we only know what we know. We only have limited time, limited energy, and limited knowledge. And the truth is that though most of us start out as solopreneurs, you know, we think we can figure it all out for ourselves and do it all ourselves, there really is no way we can make significant progress without the help of other people. And that help can come in many forms. It might be our spouse helping us to lug heavy stuff to and from a market, or it might be someone to bounce our ideas off because we're not sure if we're going in the right direction. It might be someone who teaches us that crucial piece of information that makes all the difference to the progress of our business. And sometimes it's just someone who'll tell us that we actually can do this thing that we dream of. I hope I tell you that on a regular basis, you know, that you can do this thing that you dream of. I never say it's going to be easy or quick or without change or compromise or growth, but it is possible. We really need mental, physical, and emotional support on this journey because growing a business is hard and we come up against so many obstacles on the path. So, of course, the question is, where do we find that help? You know, not all of us are blessed with people close to us that support and understand us. And I know that. I know many of you listening might be in that position where you don't have someone in your corner necessarily. You know, your spouse or your friends or your partner or your kids or your parents or whoever, your boss. They might not understand, you know, they might not support what you're doing because they don't understand it. They might not know anything about handmade business and they might still be kind of living in that 1990s mentality before the internet really took off, you know, and before the handmade kind of renaissance happened, that it is actually something you can do is make a living selling handmade stuff. So we need to connect with people who do understand us and it can help us, you know. There's also pros and cons to any sort of support we rely on. So it's really important to find a mix of people and ways to help us on our journey. So in this episode, I'm going to share 8 places or, you know, ways or people you can turn to find help on your handmade business journey. So the first and most obvious one is family. You know, if you have parents, kids, partners, they're usually the first port of call when we need help with our handmade business. I know quite a few people in the Thriver Circle have, you know, kids who help them out in some way, teenagers or whatever. And if we're lucky enough to have someone close to us that has both the time and the energy to help us out, then that's awesome. We're like super blessed, right? These people love us and they want us to succeed. They have the best kind of vested interest in the progress and the success of our business. I mean, I personally got extremely lucky when it came to help from this particular direction. There really is no way I could have done what I have without Nick's help and support. You know, he's been there right from the beginning, and he's always been completely supportive. He's always believed in me. He's always not only said he's supportive, but shown it in everything that he's done. You know, he's been my emotional support. He's been my sounding board. He has complete confidence that I can do anything I set my mind to, and is happy to go along with my crazy schemes. But he also he also gives me that everyday sort of mundane support of just keeping our lives running. You know, he was that kind of the house spouse for so long. You know, he did all the shopping and he did the cooking and the cleaning and the washing, and while I was, you know, working myself to the bone, getting the business off the ground, he was supporting me in those ways, which was amazing. And I know how lucky I am to have been in that position. Not many people are that lucky. You know, and so for me, I'm lucky that he's kind of my bedrock. He's, you know, he supports me in everything I do. So asking him to marry me was definitely the best decision I've ever made. And of course, he's now actually stepped into the business and stepped into roles within the business over the years. You know, he does all the bookkeeping. He does the majority of the jewelry making now. He does the packaging and stuff like that. He, you know, I wouldn't say he works as many hours as me now, but it's pretty, you know, he does many, many hours a day work on the business, and he's my full-time employee. And, you know, in the other areas of our lives now, things have shifted. You know, I do more of the domestic stuff. I do some of the shopping and some of the cooking. Not much, to be honest. He's a much better cook, you know, and the washing and things like that. So those, that sort of has, that seesaw has kind of come back the other way a little bit, and we're kind of cross-pollinating our jobs and our responsibilities more so than we ever had before. But, you know, that's worked really well, and I'm very lucky to be in that situation. I also grew up with the support of my parents, you know. My parents, again, always believed in me. They just kind of let me do my own thing. I did well in school, and they were always proud of me. But the main thing they gave me was the confidence that I could do anything I wanted to do, and that they would support me no matter what I wanted to do. So I've never felt held back by any sort of idea that I should be a certain type of person, or that I should do a certain type of thing. And they're also, let's be honest, my mum's a bit of a hippie, so she brought me up to kind of dance to the beat of my own drum, as they say, and not have to follow a traditional path. Even though when I was younger, I was very much on the kind of university, academia path, you know. I planned on having a PhD by the time I was 30, working in research, all that sort of stuff. But life had other plans for me. So, you know, my family, I'm very lucky. I have a family who loves me for who I am, not for what I do. And if you're also lucky enough to be in that position, then, you know, it's not something to take for granted, because a lot of people are not in that position. A lot of people have expectations on them from their families to do a certain thing and be a certain thing. You know, like the idea that I could give up a career in science and I could give up a career in teaching. I struggled with that, the idea of letting go of who I thought I was or who I thought I was going to be to do something completely left of field that had never occurred to me before, which was make jewelry for a living. Who knew that was going to happen? Like, I had no idea. It was never in the cards for me. So having that support is really great. And if you have it, don't take it lightly. Definitely be thankful. You know, I'm thankful every day, and I try to actually say how thankful I am, especially to Nick, for the support he gives me. And I know some of you are listening who don't have that sort of support, and I'm hoping that you can find that support elsewhere, in some of the other places I'm going to talk about today. And, you know, when we don't have that support, everything can seem so much harder, just hundreds of times harder, because we're not only struggling with the regular challenges of growing a business, we're also struggling with the doubt of those close to us, and that is a big stressor, definitely. So If you have family who support you and help you, great. If you don't, who can you turn to? Or, you know, everybody can turn to. The next is friends, obviously. Friends are, after all, the family you choose. So often our friends are our greatest cheerleaders. And if they aren't, it might be time to find some new friends. You know, old friends, new friends, crafty and non-crafty friends. They're all people we can turn to for support. My best friend is unfailingly enthusiastic and supportive of all my dreams and schemes. She, you know, whenever we talk, she always asks me how my latest project is going. She also never fails to remind me that I can kick butt in everything that I do, which is nice. Even if I don't believe it, she does. And that always makes a difference for me. And she is also very, very funny. She always makes me laugh, which is definitely a skill not to take lightly. So, you know, and that's just one of my friends. I have a whole bunch of amazing friends and they're all wonderful and they've all been very supportive of this journey, you know, these changes in my life over the years and the journey we've taken to build the businesses that we have. So, you know, obviously there have been people in my life who have been a bit there's been family, not my immediate family, but some of my family who were a bit skeptical, I think, at first. I still remember though, 1 year when I had somebody ask me how the business was going and I actually told them how much money we'd made that month or something. We had a really good month and I could see that in their eyes that they were just like blown away and they just did not think that that was in any way, shape or form possible and didn't realize that we were actually making a decent living. And so that, you know, sometimes that's the only thing that will convince people is when you get to the point of actually making a decent living and, you know, saying, hey, this is what we're doing. And they go, oh, wow, okay, I didn't realize that was the possible. But, you know, think about your friends and think about their skills and their knowledge. It's not just emotional support here. You might have friends who can help you with something really practical, you know. Maybe you've got a friend who's a photographer who'd love to give you some help with your photos for your products or take some shots for you in exchange for an amazing home-cooked meal. Or maybe you've got a friend who runs a different type of business who you can ask about marketing and advertising. You know, don't discount that. I mean, I was at my yoga teacher training course on the weekend and our teacher for that day is not the one. We're being taught by three people, two of whom are the owners of the yoga studio and one of whom is this lady who's amazing and she is one of their students many years ago and has worked with, you know, with them and for them. But she was talking about, you know, if you dream of having a yoga business, you know, don't think that you're suddenly going to make heaps of money being a yoga teacher straight up. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work on the business side of things and a lot of patience to grow a successful business. And, you know, she took years and I was just sitting there quietly trying not to smile really broadly and nodding my head because I'm like, this is exactly the same stuff I tell you guys all the time. And it goes for no matter what, really, no matter what sort of industry you're in, especially if you're one person, you know, like as a yoga teacher, you're one person trying to get students and build a business. So the same applies, you know, think outside the square. Don't just look for people who are friends of yours who have handmade businesses. Think if they have other sorts of businesses and what you can learn from them, what aspects of things they do really well. Maybe you've got a friend who's really artistic and you can bounce, you know, your creative design ideas off them. Really don't hesitate to reach out to your friends. You know, friendship is about the give and take of supporting each other in life. And people really do love to help those they care about. It really does feel good to help someone we care about. And people like to do it. So don't hesitate. So the third place that you can look for help and support are local organizations and classes. So if you don't have the support of friends and family or you can't think of how they can be really helpful to you, but you need, like, you're a people person and you like face-to-face interaction, then finding a local organization is a great thing to do. You know, most major cities have craft groups or guilds that you can join. In Brisbane, there's the awesome BrizStyle that I was vice president for a little while back and I've been a member was a member in for a long time. I've moved away now, so it's a bit far to kind of get involved, unfortunately, anymore. But there are, you know, for, I know in Brisbane there are less like the Quilters Guild and the Embroiderers Guild and like all these guilds for different crafts. So don't, you know, go looking for those things. You know, there's often organisations or guilds, or heck, if you're in Australia, even the CWA, the Country Women's Association, if you're in the country especially and you're not near a city, that might be a great place to go to just find people who like making stuff that you can hang out with and talk to and get support from. You know, craft and business classes are also a really great place to find like-minded people. Take an in-person course in some aspect of your work that you could use more knowledge in, and really make an effort to connect with your classmates, and you might find some new friends and support system there. I've made some wonderful friends from being an active member of Brisdal. Kath, who used to be my assistant here, is a dear friend of mine now, and she and I met via Brisdal. And I've quite a few people that I've interviewed here on the podcast I met via Brisdal as well, and made friends with over the years. So, you know, I've gotten a lot of help and support from these people over the years as I've grown my own businesses, and I've collaborated with a number of these people as well. The Wholesale Know-How course I run with Melanie Augustine, I met her via Brisdal. You know, so getting out there into the world and being part, an active part of an organization can be really rewarding and really good for you and your business. So the next one is number four, is teams and forums online. So if you can't, you know, if maybe you're an introvert like me and you like to kind of socialize on your own schedule, you like to be able to hop on when you can and talk and be in your cave otherwise. But online, you know, there are so many places, so many forums and teams. Like if you're on Etsy, the Etsy forums, you can go on there and ask for advice. These can be great places to go and find info and see what's worked for other crafters. Yeah, so, you know, on Etsy there are heaps of teams. If you're in selling via other venues, there's teams as well. And there are lots of public forums out there. There are some downsides to this, so I will say the caveats to public teams and forums. And the main one is that anyone, including your customers, can see what you've written. So if you've ever got any like sensitive customer support issues, my advice is to never ever post them in these places. And the same goes for any potentially sensitive business information, and also rants. Let's be honest, like all of us have problems. All of us have difficult customers. All of us come up against issues. Sometimes we really just need to vent and, you know, get sympathy and empathy from other people who've been through the same thing. But the best place to do this sort of thing is in private, with people who understand that we're just blowing off steam because we're frustrated, etc. Like, I've seen it so many times where somebody has, you know, let their frustration or their anger get the better of them, and they've lashed out publicly, and it's just come back to bite them in the butt. And I'm sure you've seen it too. You know, not necessarily makers, but, you know, in all walks of life, politics, celebrities, whatever, you know, it generally never ends well if you do that sort of thing. So, you know, if you do feel like you just really need to talk to someone about this problem you're having, just be careful. Don't put it out on your Facebook or your Instagram or anywhere else that's public. Don't put it on a public forum that's connected to your business or to your name. It's just, it doesn't put your business in the best light, and it's always there for somebody to possibly find. So, you know, the other thing is to remember with online spaces, you know, is that you don't know the people who you interact with necessarily. So you have to be careful, because some people aren't necessarily going to tell you the things that are in your best interest. Even though I personally like to believe most people are inherently helpful and honest, especially in the handmade community, it's not always the case. There's also tends to be in these sort of, often in these sort of spaces, if you think about Reddit, for example, as a bad, well, maybe a good example, I don't know, of kind of attracting the negativity of the internet. You know, there can be a lot of envy and snark in these places. I don't have any time for that in my life, and I don't have any wish to expose myself to it either. So I don't actually hang out in public forums anymore. I used to when I started out because I didn't have anywhere else to go to talk to other crafters. But then I just realized that I didn't feel safe, and I didn't feel that it was in my best interest to talk about some of the things that I needed to talk about people with in a public way. So I don't go to any and talk on any public forums online ever anymore. Occasionally I might share something, but it's been a long time since I've done that. I used to sometimes share like advice and stuff on the Etsy forums, but I'd get mostly positive responses, but there were always people who just want to comment and just have nothing good to say, and I didn't want to really be around that, so I moved on to my own space. You know, I share on the podcast and I share on the blog, and if people want to email me and tell me I'm wrong or tell me that I said something I shouldn't have or whatever, they do. I do sometimes get angry emails from people. It's pretty rare, I will say. Maybe one or two a year, which is, I think I'm very, very lucky that that's the extent of the negativity that comes my way. So yeah, but it you know, it happens, and it's just something you have to deal with when it does. But I prefer to not open myself up to that any more than necessary. Generally, the people who are listening to this podcast or who are reading my blog are part of my community, and they know me and they know where I'm coming from, and they're there because they like what I teach and perhaps like my perspective and my approach to things. So yeah. Whereas when you get some random person who has no idea about you, they might be triggered, or something I might say that's kind of real talk might get them defensive. So that's another thing to consider. Definitely, places like the Etsy forums, for example, definitely go there to read what other people have written. Like, there is some really great stuff there. You can learn a lot, but just be wary about what you share is the point of this, I guess. So the next place to go that I think when it comes to learning about stuff is good is blogs. You know, blogs, websites. I'd add podcasts in there as well. So basically the places where somebody is putting themselves out there and sharing their advice in a coherent, logical way for your benefit. So I'm sure that during your online journey, you've read a lot of blogs and you've probably listened to many podcasts about handmade business. These places are invaluable. You know, they're like the hive mind of humanity. You know, they're where we share the lessons we've learned, the pieces of wisdom we most want to share with other people, and the things that have worked and the things that haven't. You know, I really don't know how people coped before the internet, running a business or growing a business. It must have been so much harder to learn about business. And of course, so much harder to grow a business without this worldwide platform for selling and marketing that the internet has gifted us. It's really amazing. You know, I guess people went to conferences and, you know, had to do that face-to-face stuff, and they had to advertise in magazines and newspapers in order for people to know about them. But the world's changed. So, you know, if you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to make a list of your favorite blogs and podcasts to refer to. You know, subscribe to their emails, follow them on Feedly or Flipboard or iTunes or Stitcher, however you do it. Craft yourself like a treasure trove of knowledge. And while you're at it, don't forget to go back. You know, if you find a new blog or a new podcast that's really awesome, and you start listening or you start reading, don't forget to kind of explore the archives, because my gosh, I mean, like, I've been writing over at Create and Thrive since the beginning of 2013. I've been doing this podcast for over a year now. We're up to, what, 55? So there's lots of amazing content that's kind of old, but is still completely valid and completely useful in, you know, the archives of blogs and podcasts. So if you find someone you, you know, a teacher you trust, or someone you trust go and search their archives and for any questions. You know, if you have a particular question, go have a look for that that topic and learn from someone that you trust already. But just, again, a caveat, remember when you enact advice you've read on a blog or heard in a podcast, really consider the author of who are they, what have they done, what are they doing now, how have they come across this knowledge and how applicable is it to you in your particular business situation. All advice does not work for everyone. So it's really important to be discerning in what you absorb and enact and what you let pass by you. You could also spend your whole life reading blogs and listening to podcasts like this one, but never actually doing anything. Don't do that. Don't fall into that procrastination trap. Blogcrastination? Podcrastination? I don't know. There, I'm just making up words now. You know, make sure that the doing gets done and you don't get this whole choice paralysis thing happening because you're waiting for the perfect piece of advice before you start on that particular thing that you want to start on. Just, you know, start and figure it out as you go, definitely. So the next one is staff. Sometimes you just get to the point where you can't do it yourself and you've grown beyond the point where occasional help from your friends and family bridges the gap. When that happens, you have two options. One, you can pull back, reassess, and cut down on your workload. Or two, you can embrace the growth and hire someone to help you. There are lots of ways you can bring someone else on board your crafty biz ship. The best thing to do is start by being honest with yourself. Which tasks do you know are vital to your business, but that you really don't enjoy doing? I was doing a Skype call, a follow-up call for one of my courses the other day, and I was talking to Susan and she said, you know, I really don't like photos. I don't like photography. I don't enjoy it, but I know it's really important, but I keep putting it off because I don't enjoy it. And I said, you know, that's okay. It's okay. The first thing is, you know, you just say to yourself, you know what, I don't enjoy this, and that's okay. I don't have to love everything about my business. I don't have to love every single part of it. If you did, that would be probably pretty unusual. However, just because you don't enjoy it doesn't mean it's not important. So if it's important, you have to figure it out, you know. If you drag your feet when it comes to bookkeeping, you need to get someone to help you with it. If you think you might stab yourself in the eye with a ribbon, if you have to tie one more bow on a parcel, get someone to help you with it. And do you really want somebody to help you with your marketing, or is it something you want to do yourself? You know, whatever they are, whatever these things are that you don't enjoy really, but that are still really crucial and that you can trust someone else to do, these are the things you need to start delegating to someone else. Now, I know you're probably thinking, one, I can't afford it, and two, they'll never do it as well as I can. And to that I say, hello, fellow perfectionist, I feel your pain, but I've also pushed through it. And to be fair, some of the tasks I've let go of, well, the other person has ended up doing not only just as good, but a better job than I ever did, because they're either more skilled or they weren't doing it begrudgingly. For example, Nick does an amazing job of packing up our jewelry orders. You know, he ties a mean bow. Megan E, who used to work for me with Create and Thrive and other things, but who's since moved on, she was amazing at reaching out and connecting with new people to interview on the blog. That was just, she was brilliant at it. She found people and she just had that knack. So, you know, everybody has their skills and everybody has their superpowers, but, you know, you get the idea. And as for the cost, well, you can start small, you know, just choose one thing, one small defined task like your bookkeeping or your packaging or customer service on email, I don't know, whatever it is, hire someone to do it, see how it goes and go from there. But, you know, if you've reached that point in your business, don't let fear of expense or your perfectionism hold you back if growth is your goal, because you'll never be able to move past a certain point if you insist on going it alone and doing it all yourself. On the flip side, if you want to keep it a one-person business, nothing wrong with that. You will need to plan for it, and you need to ensure that you don't take on more work than you can handle. You also need to be aware that you'll have an upper limit. You know, there's only so much that you can do, and if you reach that point, you have to accept it. And if you can't accept it, then it may be a time to rethink that position. So the next one is mentors and coaches. Okay, so mentors are amazing, but they're very hard to find as well. You know, a mentorship is a one-on-one relationship that is mostly one way, generally when it comes to sharing knowledge of experience, and exists without any financial transaction. So for this reason, most successful people have very little time for mentoring, and when they do mentor, you know, they do take it really seriously because they value their time, you know. And the best way to gain a mentor is really to gain a friend. You know, I often get emails from people asking me loads of questions, which is fine, and I want to hear from you. I might not be able to answer them all in detail, but I do like hearing what my community is up to and what you're struggling with. I also get emails from strangers, people who I have no idea who they are, flat out asking me to mentor them or help, you know, have a look at my shop. Can you give me any advice? And, you know, my response is generally no. I don't know you. You know, mentorship is a relationship. Mentorship is something that's built on trust, you know. If I choose to mentor someone, it's because we've already built a relationship and I trust them and I admire their work ethic. You know, we all have limited time, so that time is best invested in someone who's already shown me that they're going to take what I teach and then action it. You know, if somebody is going to waste the knowledge that I have to give, then I don't have the time to be a mentor to them when I could be a mentor to someone else. And this is, you know, most people in professional environment, that's the position they're in as well, you know. If you know of someone that you would love to have as a mentor, the best thing you can do possibly is to help them first, you know. Reach out, be friendly, help them in any way you think you can without expectations. You know, you need to start with giving. Show them you're serious about your business, that you're honest, you're trustworthy, that you care about them as a human being first, then they're not just a robot that can they can pump for information or help all the time. And if you're lucky, they'll end up reaching out to you and offering to help you and give you advice. And that's how a mentorship is born, you know. And if there's not someone in your life who you think could become a mentor, then consider a coach or an advisor, you know, a paid person. You know, that it's going to cost money to hire someone to do this for you, and it won't be cheap. But it is definitely an option. For a lot of people, it works really well. I'll be honest, I don't have a coach or an advisor, and I've never had one. I see the value in it, and perhaps one day it's something that I will do. But for me, I'm a very self-motivated person, and I'm also quite self-confident. I don't have a lot of self-doubt about what I'm doing or the direction I'm going. And I also have really great family and friends, as I talked about earlier, who I can, you know, bounce ideas off and get help with. And I have some wonderful people who work for me. So I've not ever been in the position where I've been flailing around desperate for the help that a coach or an advisor could give me. You know, as long as I'm happy, I'm kicking goals, I'm happy with the direction my business is going, it's not something I personally have felt the need for. However, that's me. I'm, you know, everybody's different. Some people really benefit from having that person in their corner that holds them accountable and that guides them on their journey. And if you're one of those people, then I would highly recommend considering a coach or advisor, even if it's for a short period of time, to just get your head on straight, get yourself organized, and really figure out the direction that you want to be going in. Then it's definitely a great option. So the final thing is online communities. And by online community, I generally mean a paid membership site that gives you access to a private community of like-minded people. There are quite a few of them out there, online communities for makers. I can think of four off the top of my head that I know of. And everyone has their own benefits and everyone has its pros and its cons. And the beauty of such a community is that it's full of people who are on the same journey as you. You know, they're facing the same struggles and they're asking the same questions. And it should also be a private safe space to ask with that help about sensitive issues, you know, like customer difficulties that I mentioned earlier that you don't want to put in public. Most of these communities have other benefits as well. There are ebooks, courses, workshops, group calls, all sorts of other stuff. So you know, get and give and receive help and support from other makers. You generally get guidance from someone who knows their stuff, someone who's been there before you, hopefully. That's the sort of person you want, I think. And again, like blogs and podcasts, just be really aware when you do join a membership community, get to know the person behind it first. You know, read their blog, listen to their podcast. Do you like them? do you have a good feeling about them? Do you resonate with them? Do you agree and feel comfortable with the things that they're teaching you and their approach and how they talk and how they write and what they talk about? You know, is their teaching style and personality a good fit for you? Do they really know what they're talking about? Are they a good teacher? Who are the other people in their community? How have they already helped you via the stuff they've put out into the world for free? And of course, do you trust them? That is the most important thing, is trust when it comes to anything, really, when it comes to business. Trust is the number one thing. And consider what you're getting for your money. You know, first of all, can you afford it? Like, properly afford it and not be stressed about it? Are you getting value for what you pay? Can you join or leave at any time? Or are you locked in by having to pay a big upfront fee? If you do that, what happens if the community isn't a good fit for you and it, you know, it's money that doesn't give you anything back? So those are all things to consider if you are considering joining an online community. I personally think they're amazing and that they can be a huge help on your journey. That's why I created the Thriver Circle. Yes, you know, most of you know I have my own membership community, and it is one of many options out there for makers. You know, a lot of my Setup Shop students, originally the idea that kind of came out of the fact that when I ran Setup Shop, I had a private forum for students, and there was an amazing, like, they, a lot of them said to me that was, like, the course was amazing, but that's private space to talk to other students was really immensely valuable to them, because there was nowhere else they could turn to connect with so many people who understood them, people who were on the same journey, you know. So definitely consider a membership community, perhaps a Thriver Circle. I would love to have you join us. Membership should be tax deductible. That's the nice thing about these sorts of things as well. If you find a community you connect with, you know, make sure you connect with the message and the mentor of the community before you consider joining. So, yeah, there we go. We've got our 8 places that we can find help. Family, friends, local organizations and classes, teams and online forums, blogs and podcasts, staff, mentors and coaches, and online communities. I hope that you are part of a few of those things, that you can turn to a few of those places for help in your own business journey. And if you do want to join the Thriver Circle and become part of my membership community, membership is actually open right now. And it's only open for 48 hours, 4 times a year. So as I put this out there, it's open this week from Wednesday till Friday, midday Australian Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in like US and Canada, basically take a day off that so you don't miss out. And I would love to have you join our wonderful community. I am so blown away by the people in the Thriver Circle. There's hundreds of people in there, and they're amazing, amazing people. They've just created this amazing, positive, supportive space that I'm honored to be a mentor to. And, you know, that's my role in the Thriver Circle. Obviously, I'm in there in the Facebook group every day answering questions and helping people out. I do a exclusive workshop every month for members. It's like a video, audio, workshop. And we run calls every month where I do one-on-one intensives with people about their business. We have regular Facebook chats a couple of times a month. We have a book club. There's so many great things in there, and it's probably the thing I'm most proud of creating in my career so far. So if you are interested, please come over and check it out. It's thrivercircle.com. It is $15 Australian a month to become a member, and you can come and do it for a month and then leave. There's no lock-in. You are not committed to anything past that 1 month. You stay a member as long as you're getting the value and as long as it's working for you and helping you and your business. And if it stops working for you, then you can leave at any time. So I really hope that you consider joining us and getting that guidance and support to help you with your business. And I'd also love to hear, you know, where you get your help and support. You know, where do you turn when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling stressed, when things aren't going well? You know, who do you turn to? Who helps you out? What's worked for you? Do come and share with us on the Facebook page, on the blog comments underneath this episode, 55, or send me an email. I'd love to hear from you and hear how things are going. Thanks so much for being with me again, lovely people. It's great to be here chatting to you. Again, it's always an honor to be trusted, to give you advice that you will find practical and helpful, and talk to you in my, as one of my Thriver Circle members called it, my exotic accent. I think it's the first time my accent's been called exotic, which I got quite a chuckle out of. I thought that was awesome. It's so funny, isn't it? We all, you know, to me, to all of us, our own accent is just so normal. We forget that other people in other parts of the world, it's something unusual and hopefully wonderful to them to listen to. Yeah, so thanks for having me. Thanks for trusting me and letting me be here in your ears and in your brain, giving you my advice. So I will talk to you again next week for episode 56. And when that comes out, I'm going to be on a island in digital sabbatical land. So think of me traipsing along with my heavy backpack. Let's hope it doesn't rain. That would be not so fun. Hopefully we have good weather to look at all the beautiful, beautiful forest and lakes and things around us. So have a lovely week and make sure to enjoy yourself, take care of yourself, and find some help and find some support, because it will make, honestly, all of the difference in the longevity and the success of your business going into the future. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast for another week. Bye for now.